Thank you, Brother Dan. Good evening. I'd like to greet each of you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I said this morning, we each have a need of a Savior. We each need Him to change our hearts, to change our lives, to put us on the right path. We need Him for peace. We need Him for joy. And I'm so glad that I have Jesus as my Savior. I've entitled this sermon, Amazing Grace, because His grace is amazing. His great love that He has for us is amazing. We don't deserve it, and yet He loves us anyway. Loves us so much that our Father sent His Son to die for us, to give us a hope of salvation. He raised Him up from the dead to give us a hope of salvation. But I think of all that Jesus went through, says that He was tempted like we are, that He could help us in our temptations. Being God in the flesh and facing all our evil temptations, it amazes me that He did that for me. And that He did that for you. Our brother Dan this morning read out of Alma chapter 3. His sermon, there was a lot of symbolism about the house of Israel and their being in slavery in Egypt, and how He freed them from slavery. Likened to our being in slavery to sin. And Jesus has freed us. Those of you who have been baptized by water and by His Spirit, He has freed you from the bondage of sin. It may feel like sometimes we are in bondage when we allow ourselves to fall back into sin, but we are free when we trust in Him and believe in Him and resist that temptation and allow ourselves to be guided by Him. But our brother Dan read from Alma chapter 3, and I'm going to read the words that he read, some of the words that he read this morning in Alma chapter 3. In verse 27, "And now I behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts?" Our sister Manon picked this song, Jesus Calls Us, and I want to read the fourth verse of that song. Jesus calls us, by Thy mercies, Savior, may we hear Thy call. Give our hearts to Thine obedience. Serve and love Thee best of all. It's Jesus' love that has changed our hearts and gives us this desire to love Him back, to be obedient with our hearts. So, verse 29, have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you, that payment that he made on the cross? Do you realize that because he did that, there is power? Power that he gives us power by faith to do what he wants us to do, and to change our ways. Do you look forward to an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye can hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or can ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been the works of righteousness, have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? These righteous works come from someone whose heart has been changed by the grace of God. I'm going to go now, give us a little bit of history about Alma, this Alma who is speaking to us in Alma chapter 3. Remember that Alma, speaking in Alma 3, was the one who was a very wicked and idolatrous man, who with the sons of Mosiah went about to destroy the church of God before they were converted by an angel of God. And that's found in Mosiah chapter 11, verse 159 and 162. Alma's father, the Alma who's speaking here, his father heard the words of Obenadi. Okay, Alma's father who heard the words of Obenadi was one of the priests of wicked King Noah, who had caused the people to commit so many sins and iniquities against God. That's in Mosiah chapter 9, verse 171. Alma, this Alma, was converted by the word of God through Obenadi. Both Alma and his son Alma knew of the amazing grace of God. That grace, that unmerited love of God. They didn't deserve his love. You and I don't deserve his love. But he loves us anyway because he created us. And he sent his son that we might know of his love, that we might know of his grace. So I'm going to go back in this. We started in verse 27. But I'm going to go back to verse 8 so we can get a little bit of background. Before I start reading here, I want to speak a little bit about what happened prior to this Alma crying out to the people of Zarahemla. And Alma, first of all, King Mosiah died. So I'm going to go way back first. And give kind of a little bit of the whole history. So Abinadi was sent by God. We don't know where he came from, but he was sent by God twice to King Noah and to the priests and the people who were committing evil. God loved them so much that he sent Abinadi to them to cry out repentance, to get them to repent. I just have to do a little aside here because I preached Friday night on repentance for Mexico online. And repentance requires humility, the recognition of our own weaknesses, our own sins. So I say that, and Abinadi preached that if they didn't repent, they'd be destroyed. And Alma heard. He had humility. He was able to recognize his own weaknesses and sins. He was moved so much by that grace of God that he tried to get King Noah to spare Abinadi's life. And then he ended up having to flee because they were gonna kill him. So he fled to the wilderness. And then others who were also touched by the word of God went to the wilderness, to the waters of Mormon, and there they established the church. They were freed from King Noah, and then they were freed later from the Lamanites, and they came back to Zarahemla. And they were there with King Mosiah. King Mosiah had sons, and Alma had a son, and they went about to, it says, like I read earlier, they were idolatrous, they were wicked, they were unbelievers, and they persecuted the believers. So Alma, the father, knew of the grace of God. He knew he had been wrong in being with the other priests of Noah to teach the people wickedness and sins. Then he has a son who's wicked and persecutes the church. And God sends an angel to warn them of their wickedness and if they stayed in their wickedness. And they were humbled and recognized and repented of their sins. And of course, because of that, when we talk about works of righteousness, it's hard for me to think of anybody with works of righteousness greater than the sons of Mosiah, who went to save one soul and were instruments in saving thousands. Because they knew of the grace of God. It says they were the very vilest of sinners. They knew they were the very vilest of sinners. And because of the love of God that converted them, they didn't want any soul to be lost. So anyway, so fast forward to... Mosiah dies. There's no one to go in his stead because the sons of Mosiah refused to do it because they want to serve the Lord, or they left to serve the Lord. And Mosiah in his wisdom says that it's better not to have a king, but by the voice of the people to choose those who should govern over them. And Alma, the son of Alma, was chosen to be high priest. I'm sorry, he was called to be high priest. He was chosen to be chief judge. So anyway, we're about to where this point is in Alma 3. In the sixth year of the reign of the judges, or the sixth year after Alma becomes chief judge, they've had lots of wars, and they went through trials, and they humbled themselves and believed that they had these wars because of their own wickedness. And so they humbled themselves, and in that year, the sixth year of the reign of the judges, there was 3,500 people that were joined to the church. And in the seventh year of the reign of the judges, there was peace. And then only 2 years later, the eighth year of the reign of the judges, there began to be pride again in the land. And it says that it says in verse 8 of Alma chapter 2, "And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of the judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen and because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they obtained by their industry," or in other words, by the works of their own hands. So they began to be built up in pride because of the works of their own hands, their own actions. We can do that. We can think, you know, when there's trials in our lives, we can think, well, we can fix this on our own. We need Jesus. We need his word. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to fix things. Verse 10, "And in all these things were they lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear costly apparel." Now this was much cause, this was the cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and many of the people which Alma had consecrated to be teachers, priests, and elders over the church. Yea, many of them were sorely grieved for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among their people. And so Alma relied upon the Holy Spirit. I think it says it at the beginning of 3. But he cries out to God, and he relies on the Holy Spirit to guide him, to release himself from, and to look for someone, a faithful member of the church to be chief judge in his place so that he could dedicate himself fully to being high priest and to witnessing to the people, to cry out repentance to the people. And so I'm going to start here in chapter 3, verse 8. "And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church," and here he's talking to the people in Zarahemla, that capital city. He went first to them, and then he went around to all the land where the Lord led him to get them to repent, to turn to God again, to trust in his grace. "And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance the captivity of your fathers," the captivity of sin, the captivity of wicked men, the captivity when they were captive to King Noah and his wicked ways, and then later to the Lamanites. Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance his mercy and long-suffering towards them? And moreover, have ye sufficiently retained in remembrance that he has delivered their souls from hell? Behold, he changed their hearts. That in itself is the grace of God, that his favor towards us, when he changes us from our wicked state, when we've done wrong, and yet just like he did with Alma the Father and Alma the Son, he pours out his love upon us. He shows us the right way. He warns us that our wickedness will destroy us. And in that way, he changes our hearts. Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awaked them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. And you and I, that's what has woken us up to his grace, is his word that rings true to us in our hearts and changes us, that it's light and it's truth, and we know it for truth. And we know that he is true to his word, that he keeps his promises, and that changes us. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken, and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosed? I say unto you, yea, they were loosed, and their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. And that's what happens to us when our hearts are filled with the love of God, when we know that we don't deserve it, and yet he loves us anyway. Our souls expand. We feel that love, and it's kind of like when in Alma 16, when Alma's talking about the word, when we compare it to a seed, and we know it's true, and it expands within it. There's these swelling motions. That's what the love of God does, and the truth of his word does to our souls. Their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are they saved? Yea, what grounds have they to hope for salvation? What is the cause of their being loosed from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? So he's telling us here, what is the cause for them for the bands of death being loosed from them, and the chains of hell being loosed from them? That they believed in the word of God, that they believed in the word of Abinadi, who God sent to speak to them, that they believed the truth of those words, that God cannot lie and he speaks the truth, and he will do what he says he will do if we trust in him. Alma believed in God. And so it says, Alma believed in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi. And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. So he believed And then he had faith in God, that God will do. He believed God's words, and he had faith that God will do what he says he's going to do. And so there was this mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. This change of heart is the grace of God upon us. It is his effective love within us. The definition of grace from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, I chose the second definition there. It says, appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. There is no way we could have earned it. He just loved us. And he sent his son, says we love him because he first loved us. And then it says we love him if we keep his commandments. And so we can reciprocate that free, unmerited love by trusting him to let him do his work in us. And that's the works of righteousness, him working in us, what he wants to do in us, what he's planned, what he created us to do. So grace is appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. Any good thing we could receive or do originate from him and that pure love of Christ. What were the words that Abinadi spoke that Alma believed? So, a little bit history on that. Abinadi's speech to King Noah and his wicked priests and the people. This was Abinadi's second time speaking to the people. He spoke once and prophesied against them, and they chased him off. He was able to, they were trying to kill him, but he was able to escape. And God sent him again. We don't know much about Abinadi other than God sent him to prophesy against the people, but also to speak truth and light to them. His words were light to Alma, who had been a priest to wicked King Noah, and those few who later gathered at the waters of Mormon to establish a church according to the words that God had sent to them. So these words, and we're going to read about these the bands of death that they were loosed from. And now Abinadi saith unto them, and this is why he was killed, and Abinadi saith unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. And because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, he was God in the flesh, and the Son, because of the flesh, so he was Son of Man also. He was Son of God, and he was Son of Man, thus becoming the Father and the Son. I just want to stop here on verse 30 where it says, and having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father. Do you remember when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, and he cried out to his Father that this cup would pass by him? And then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. He submitted, he subjected the will of the flesh to the will of the Father. He was willing and obedient throughout his life to the cross for you and I. Verse 31, and they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. And thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation and yieldeth not to the temptation. When he was throughout his life, he suffered temptation. All those temptations that you and I suffer, so that he can help us resist when we're tempted. He suffered temptation, but yielded not to the temptation. He never sinned. And so he can show us a way to escape our temptations. But suffereth himself to be mocked and scourged and cast out and disowned by his people. You know, it's so easy to read through those, but if you consider each one, this was God who only had good desires for his people and came only for good desires for us, who was mocked, who was scourged, beaten, who was cast out, disowned, not accepted, disapproved of, yelled at. And why? For us. It says he did it for us. Did it for them, those who did all those things to him. He did it for them. I mean, it was culminated with him on the cross, with him crying out to God to forgive those who had just murdered him. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Can you imagine how sad he is when we sin? It's a rejection of such a great love. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, even so he shall be led, crucified, and slain. The flesh becoming subject even unto death, and the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death. That's how he did it. With Christ, who such innocence, such pure love, willing to go to the cross out of that great love for his Father and for us. And that's how we have an opportunity for eternal life, for his grace. Having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession. Intercession. I thought I had that definition written down here. But it's like redemption of paying the price for us to give us reconciliation with God. Because we each deserved death. I have a slide on that in just a minute. Giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, that word bowels, it's like inward parts, and in Scripture it says it's the heart. And so, having the heart of mercy, and that's what he had for us, because we didn't deserve the love, but he is full of mercy. It says in the Word of God, he has everlasting mercy. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Justice that was eternal death for us, because we have all sinned. But he paid the price for each of us. Broken the bands of death. Death was the consequence from the sin of Adam. Except for few exceptions, we each will face a temporal death. We have each merited or earned an eternal death by every sin we commit. Christ made intercession for us that we might live eternally. That is our hope of salvation, and he desires to give it to us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 say, "For by grace ye are saved through faith." That's faith in God. It says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So if we don't think we have faith sufficient in God, ask for it. It's a gift. And he tells us over and over to ask, and we will receive. Says that, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." We just learned how we can't earn it. We can't earn salvation. There's no way, because we've each sinned once, and that has earned us eternal death. But from here on out, we have an opportunity to live the works of Christ. It says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." That is the result of our faith in Christ. Those works of righteousness that we read about, that is the result of perfect trust in him. That is the result of praying to God for the faith sufficient to be saved, to be used by him, to live a life praising him bringing honor and glory to him. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He has planned our life out. He created us. He's planned for us to live a certain way. And he will give us the tools to live that way. We are his workmanship. In 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 11, Nephi talks about how They lived according to the law of Moses, but they believed in Jesus Christ. And they believed in his grace, in his saving love. And starting out in verse 38, "And as the Lord God liveth that brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and gave unto Moses power that he should heal the nations after that they had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, if they would cast their eyes unto the serpent, which he did raise up before them, and also gave him power that he should smite the rock, and the water should come forth. Yea, behold, I say unto you that as these things are true, as Moses did this, and as he gave them this serpent to look to, as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God, and the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. For we labor diligently to write," and we're going to find out why, "to persuade our children, and also our brethren, and also us, and everybody who's had the privilege to read these words, to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, that we are saved after all that we can do. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled, for this end was the law given." You see, they were before Christ, and they still kept the law of Moses, as they should have, until after Christ came. And they are saying in verse 44, "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do." They knew they could not earn salvation, but it required that saving love of Jesus Christ and belief in him. So it says in verse 45, "And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled, for this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith," that gift that we should ask God for. Because of their faith, they're made alive in Christ. "Yet we keep the law because of the commandments, and we talk of Christ, and we rejoice in Christ, and we preach of Christ, and we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins." And because of their words, we know what source we can look to for a remission of our sins. So when we're beaten down by those sins that so easily beset us, we know who we can look to stop those sins, for a remission of those sins. We are no longer in bondage to sin, but because of the grace of God, we have power over sin. May God bless each of us with his amazing grace, that we might be saved in his eternal kingdom. May God bless each one of you.